to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, for your many, many blessings. Father, I pray that you'd open up every heart, every ear to hear your word this morning. Lord, that we would have a personal encounter with you, that you would speak to each and every one of us personally, Lord, and that we'd see change. Father, not just an emotion, but a spiritual change in every life here this morning. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what I'd like is everybody to open up their Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And today's going to be a little bit different than a normal service in the way that I'm presenting this and preaching this. It's going to feel maybe more like how our Sunday night services used to be. The title of the message today is "The Results Up to You." Get it working? Good. The Results Up to You, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to read it through and then we're going to go back over it. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." You see how that begins? If. If. What's "if" mean? Well, it's an introduction to a conditional clause is what it is. If you do this, then this will happen. Okay? And so that's how these verses begin. If my people, so, who are called by my name, so I hope every one of you consider yourself God's people this morning. And if you don't consider yourself God's people, I hope by the end of the service you will and you ask God to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. And so when he says, "my people who are called by my name," so that should be all of us. Do you call yourself a Christian? Then this is talking to you this morning. Okay? If my people who are called by my name, and so I call myself a Christian, so I'm included in this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. When you look up the definition to humble, it says to properly to bend the knee. Properly to bend the knee. You know, most of the time when I think about humility, I think about not praising yourself, not building yourself up, not glorifying yourself. But here, when you look at the real definition, and it says to bend the knee. So when you bend the knee, what does that mean? That's like a sign of submission. That's when you come in the presence of a king, you would have to bow to that king. And if you didn't, oftentimes you were executed. And so I want you to think, when was the last time you bended your knee? Not only physically, but spiritually to the Lord. That you said, "Father, I submit to your will. Lord, I give you my all. I give you my everything." And even physically kneeling. You know, some of us, maybe you've had knee surgery. Maybe you can't physically kneel. But, you know, when I was a little boy, what we would do is kneel beside the bed every night to say our prayers. I don't do that anymore. Maybe I hope you do. But reading this, I thought, you know, I should probably start kneeling once again. I should start kneeling beside my bed and praying, kneeling at these altars, praying, because it's a sign of respect. It's a sign of humility. And so here the Bible's saying, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will bend their knees, will humble themselves and bend their knees. My brain's moving faster than my eyes. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Pray and seek my face. When I thought about seek, I looked it up and it says to search out by any method, specifically in worship or prayer. And I began to think about humbling myself, bending my knee, and then seeking to really seek out. And I thought, what in life do I really seek out? What in life do I really search? You know, you get a new toy, a new car or something. What do you do oftentimes when you don't know how something works? You seek out the owner's manual and you read and you figure it out, right? If you're given a diagnosis of some kind of terminal illness, what do? You begin to research, you begin to seek out and whatever way you can to heal this. And even like during COVID, many of us, what were we doing? We were seeking out alternative cures. We were seeking out what to take and what to do to prevent our bodies from getting sick and getting infected with this. And so there's all kinds of things that we search, that we seek. But it says to search out by any method, specifically in worship or prayer. And I thought, how often do I really just humble myself on bended knee and begin to seek the Lord? Y'all, we're busy all the time. We're busy all the time. Man, I've been grouchy this week. Anybody else ever get grouchy? I have not had a good week, and I've just been busy. Been so busy, and it's like, phone calls and needs, and it's my pleasure to help, but then and then things breaking and things messing up, and then this person and then that person, and then I've been grouchy. I've just been busy. I've been grouchy. Last night when we laid down in bed, Crystal's like, "Are you finally in a better mood?" I said, "I don't know. I ain't decided yet." But the busyness of life keeps me from seeking the Lord. The busyness of life sometimes keeps me from really humbling myself and saying, "God, I need you." And that should be the very moments that I'm really bowing down, that I'm really beginning to seek the Lord. And it says, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I began to think about seeking His face. The face is something that you recognize, right? Like, I recognize all you now. And a lot of times I have trouble with names. We went and watched that Jesus Revolution movie yesterday. I'd heard a lot about it, and so I just decided to go watch it for myself. I really enjoyed it. And there was a guy there, though, and I'm like, I think I work with that guy, but I'm not for sure. And he looks at me, and I'm like, I said, "Hi." And he's like, "Hi." And I could tell he's like, "I think I know that guy, but I'm not for sure." He's one of our newer drivers. And he happened to be sitting right in front of us in front of that Jesus Revolution movie. And I didn't even know he's a Christian. And he probably don't know anything about me. He's new, you know. And when we left the movie, I walked up to him and I said, "I know you, but I can't think of your name." So he told me his name, and he didn't ask for my name, you know, but he recognized me. But I recognized him. You know, and there's people all the time. I'll see them at Walmart. I'll see them in restaurants, and I recognize their face because they're people I deliver to. And I, like this guy, we were at Freddy's Frozen Custard here about a month ago, and there's a guy sitting across from us, and I'm like, I know that guy. He works at Sutherland's. He does the receiving. I don't know his name, you know, and he's looking at me, and I can see him saying something to his wife. Well, the next day I delivered there, and I'm like, "Was you at Freddy's yesterday?" He goes, "Yeah, I told my wife. That's one of our drivers, you know." And that, but I recognize him, but I don't know him. Okay, that's the whole point that I'm trying to make. Here he's saying, seek His face. And so, how many times do we know someone from a distance? I kind of recognize that guy at the movie theater. I know him. He works with me. The guy at Freddy's, I know him. I deliver to him. I recognize him. But I don't know his wife's name. I don't know their kids' names. I don't even know if they're married or not, if they even have a wife and kids. I don't know. And y'all, I think sometimes us seeking the Lord, we're kind of doing it at a distance. Like, yeah, Lord bless me, Lord help me, here and there. But to really seek the face and understand and know, like that you could see him in a crowd of people that you recognize him. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? Like to know, like your parents, like your children. I was thinking about, we got these babies in here. They're so precious. But I was thinking about when my kids were little. And I don't know if any of y'all did this when your kids were little, but you just stare at them. You just stare at those little faces and those little hands. And I remember taking my fingers and just tracing around their eyes and their lips and these little precious babies. And then they grow up and they don't want anything to do. But they're so precious. And it's like you just want to eat them up because you love them so much and you see that face. How many of us are that way with God? God, I love you so much. I just want to sit here in your presence. I just want to examine your word. I just want to get to know you. I want to seek your face. I want to recognize you. And how many of us in life and difficulty and in circumstances do we say, God, is this you or not? God, and we question, God, are you in this? God, is this your will? Well, why do we question so much? Because so often we don't recognize God to seek his face. Jeremiah 9:23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So we are to boast in that I know God, that I recognize God, that I see God, that God, you're in this, or God, this isn't of you. I need to step away to recognize, to know that we know, that we understand, that we are seeking His face to the point that I know Him. John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Genesis 6, 8, and 9 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his times, and he walked with God. When you're walking with someone, you recognize them. Y'all, how many times are you in a restaurant ordering food, or the waitress or the waiter, or something, and when you leave, could you pick them out of a lineup? You never really looked at them, right? That person was standing right there, but you didn't really know them. I had that happen just the other day. Someone said, well, what did they look like? I said, I don't know. Well, didn't you talk to them? Yeah, but I didn't really look at them. Am I the only one that does that? You don't recognize them. You don't know them. Because you're not really seeking to know them. But Noah walked with God. He recognized Him. May we boast in that we know the Lord, that we understand Him. Why? Because we're seeking His face. How many of us are really truly seeking His face? Back to 2 Chronicles 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn means to change direction. How many of you were on a path of wickedness and destruction and then you changed directions? I did. I could, my life revolved around how much trouble could I get in and get away with it and nobody found out. And the evilness that was in my heart and the desire that was in my heart. And I tried to keep it hidden, but it was there. And then one night at home, God got a hold of me and says, you're headed for hell. You're headed for hell. And I knelt at home next to my bed and I cried and I said, Jesus saved me. And my life's never been the change. I changed direction. I turned from my wicked ways. Now, I'm not saying that Since I've been saved, I've not given in sometimes, but my heart's desire is no longer to desire those wicked and evil things. And that's what the Word is saying here, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wicked ways is the evil and what's displeasing. A way is a road, so it's changing. It's turning directions. It's going down a different road. It's going down a different path. And then see what it says here. Will seek my face, turn from their wicked ways then. So we started with if. We started with the if. The if is, this is conditional. It's a clause. Then is the benefit to, if you follow the clause, if you follow the if, then the results will be if you do the if. So here we are. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive them their sins. 2 Chronicles 6:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." That's the then. The eyes of the Lord are ranging and looking for those who are following the then. Am I losing y'all this morning? The if and the then. The then is God's eyes are roaming and He's looking for you and He's looking for me this morning, and He's saying, are you going to turn from your evil ways? Are you going to follow me wholeheartedly? And the then is, I'm looking for you. But then He will forgive. That's pardon. That's to spare. And I'm going to flip over to Isaiah, but I'm coming back. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." That's the then. That's the then. That's good news. Because we were scarlet. We were dirty. We were full of the evil. We were full of wickedness. But all that evil, I don't even understand how awesome our God is, that He can look at my life and that He can wipe away all those sins and make me white as snow once again. Y'all, that's amazing to think about. Any of y'all, I remember as a little boy, it's been a long time since, and you get those grass stains on your knees when you were a little boy, and your mom would put shout on them and try to do everything she, and it always seemed like when you was in your Sunday best that they're like, "What are you doing? Why are you getting all dirty?" And sometimes you get those clothes dirty and muddy, and sometimes that stain never came out. Sometimes that stain was just permanent. That stain was there. It's not that way with Jesus. It's not that way with the Lord, that He has come and that He can make our though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And remembers your sins no more. Y'all, one of the hardest things for me is remembering my sins. Satan likes to remind me of all the evil, all the bad, all the things that I've done. But God says, I will remember your sins no more. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will freely pardon." The if and the then. If you turn from your evil ways, then you will be freely pardoned. Y'all, God is so good. God is so awesome. And how many of us in our lives, in our day-to-day, are truly humbling ourselves, are truly seeking Him and desiring that relationship with Him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Who's everyone? When I look up when I looked up the definition to everyone, who's everyone? That's everyone. It's not a big mystery. That's everyone. That means you. That means me. That means that God's desire is that each and every one of us will come to repentance, that each and every one of us will have forgiveness of sins, that each and every one of us will have a new life. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Heal, when you look up the definition, it is properly to mend, that is to care or to cure. Properly to mend or cure. You know, when we look at what's going on in our world, it's evil. And we want to blame the politicians. We want to blame the government. We want to blame the preachers. We want to blame our parents. We want to blame. But what did we just read? If my people, that's you and me, we've already established like that, will humble themselves and seek my face, that's truly seeking Him, that's knowing Him, that's just not that guy you deliver to, that guy that pumps your gas, that guy that works down at the grocery store, that waitress that you casually know and you smile at, that's not the relationship that He desires. It's to seek Him, to know Him intimately, to understand Him, that you recognize this is God in this situation. This isn't God in this situation. This is God directing me here. This isn't God. To stop, to slow down, to really seek His face. It says, to turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I would challenge everyone here today to tell you that what's going on in our society and what's going on in our world, we want to see a change. It begins right here with us personally. It's not our elected officials. It's not even the preachers. It's us individually saying, I want my life to matter. I want my life to be different. God, I want to know You. And I want to seek You. You wonder why this world's falling apart? I think it's the church's fault. Because we've watered down Christianity so much trying to fit in with the world and be like the world. I told y'all about those t-shirts that I used to have, and I'm not bringing anything on anybody's t-shirts or anything else, but I have one that looked like Mountain Dew, and I think it said meant to die. I don't know. These are shirts were a long time ago, and I had this other shirt that looked like the MMA fighter shirts that was all the design and stuff, and I can't even remember what that shirt said, but I remember being at the ball fields and someone talking to me about MMA and talking about that shirt, and I'm like, that's not, read the shirt. It was a Christian shirt. But it kind of convicted me because we try to blend in so much and relate to the world that they don't even see the difference, just like that shirt. Does that make sense? They didn't know it wasn't an MMA shirt. The Mountain Dew shirt, most people wouldn't even known that it wasn't a Mountain Dew shirt. It was a meant to die. I don't remember that. I don't have them anymore. They were 20 years ago. We blend in so much that we never stand out. So why does the world want what we have? That's why I believe that if we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek His face, if we will turn from our wicked ways, then we will see and hear from heaven. Then He will forgive us our sins. Then He will hear our land. And then all this craziness is going on in our world and our society will change. And all these people so messed up, and they don't know if they're this or that, and they don't know if they're married to that one or this one, and they don't even know if they're a man or a woman. And we're like, what is going on? And we look back and we say, the world's going crazy, but why is it going crazy? Because they need Jesus. They need Jesus. And they look at us and they look at their life and they say, oh yeah, I didn't know He's a Christian. I didn't know He's a preacher. I notice he don't cuss. I notice he smiles a lot, but man, what? I smile a lot too. Really, what I've seen is most times the Christians are the ones that's grumbling and complaining and all upset all the time. We should be full of the joy of the Lord. That's why I was telling myself, Pete, why are you so grouchy this week? You should be full of the joy of the Lord. But I'm grouchy. I need a change. We need a change. And it begins with me. And it begins with you seeking the Lord, following Him, repenting of your sins. Last verses here. I had a total different direction, but we're going to end with this. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. You know, sometimes some people, like if it's something hard, they don't want to do it. Like, if, when it comes to vehicles and auto mechanics, I don't want to do it. If it's hard, my brother talked me into replacing the starter in my little car. He's like, oh, it won't be that big a deal. We can do it. It was going to be a month before they could get to it in the shop. It was terrible. And he agreed it was terrible and we shouldn't have messed with it, you know. But if it's hard, if it's difficult, Hayden's four-wheeler was messed up. The difficult part was me getting it on the trailer and taking it to Mike. Mike had it fixed in an hour and called me. It's fixed, Pete. It's ready to go. Good. I'll pay Mike. It's difficult. But y'all, there's other things in my life that someone says I can't, I'm gonna just to prove them wrong. Like, several years ago, when Chris Boatwright was still coming here, he was coming to the church at 5 a.m. working out every morning, and he invited me to come, and Hayden was pretty little at the time. He goes, oh, Dad, you won't ever do that. You won't get up that early. So you know what I did? I got up that early and I came and worked out every morning just to prove Hayden that I would do that. So some things, you know, it's like, if it's difficult, if it's hard, I'm going to prove you wrong. Other things you tell me about a car or something that needs fixed, yeah, you're right. You can take it to the shop. I'm good with, you know, but some things it's like that desire to prove people wrong. But here the Lord's saying, it's not too difficult or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you will have to ask who will ascend into heaven to go get it and proclaim it to us so we might obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you. This is it right here. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. You know, that sounds so easy. Of course you're going to choose life and prosperity. You don't want death and destruction. But do we really live it out? Verse 16, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away and you are disobedient and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Right there, it's so plain. And it's still that plain today for us. If we're going to live disobedient lives, chase after other gods. You say, well, of course I'm not bowing to other gods, but we chase after other gods with our affection, with our money, with our time, with our energy. He's saying, if you do that, you're going to be destroyed. But if you follow my commands, if you do my will, you will be blessed. This day, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I probably should have saved this for another day because there's so much here. But that last verse there, for the Lord is your life. No, that's what it really boils down to. When you wake up in the morning, do you say, God, help me today that I may be a representative to You. God, help me to seek You today. God, may this day I seek life and not death. May I seek Your will and not my own fleshly will. God, I want to see change. There's a lost and dying world going to hell right now. There's a lost and dying people, and many of them that we might be so angry at, and we might be so upset with, and the way that they're directing our country. Maybe we need to just stop and begin to pray for that person and understand that it's a spiritual war battling for them. And we need to understand that the coworkers that we can't stand, and the people at Walmart, and the people in traffic that cut us off, and all those people, that there's a spiritual battle going on in every one of our lives. Would we stop? Would we humble ourselves? Would we pray? Would we seek God's face? If my people, that's me today, who are called by my name, I claim that I am a child of God, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Said, for His eyes, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. How many of us, as the Lord's looking down from heaven right now, would be looking into your heart and saying, that person really wants to seek Me. That person really is fully committed to Me. That today life and death has been set before you. What are you going to choose? I hope you choose life. I hope you choose to turn from your wicked ways today and get serious with your walk with God, so that at the ball fields, at work, at the gym, at Walmart, at church, people would see Jesus in your life. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your word today. Lord, I pray that there'd be conviction on each and every one of us this morning, Lord, of the areas that we're missing the mark, the areas that we're in rebellion, the areas that we're in sin, the areas, Lord, that we've not truly sought You and seeking Your face as we know we should. Lord, that right now You would convict our hearts, and that every one of us who claim to be Your children would take that personal responsibility and, Lord, from this moment forward, begin to seek You and, Lord, to recognize Your face in everything. Lord, that we'd repent of our sins, that we'd turn, and that we'd begin to see healing. Lord, may it begin in this church, and then in this community, and then in this county. Lord, then in our state, and then our country, that we might see Your Holy Spirit and the power of God sweeping across this nation, that people's eyes would be open. Lord, that we would seek life, not death anymore. Those things that harm us, those things that cause destruction, that might bring so much pleasure to the flesh, Lord, may we cast it aside and repent and turn from that right now and seek You, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Let's spend some time with the Lord now in prayer. Bowing a knee, whether it's physically or spiritually, and humbling ourselves before Him today and repenting and asking Him the changes that we need to take place.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
I was thinking, things that you love, you seek out. I work with guys that can tell me stats of all the baseball players, all the basketball players, all the football players, or the Razorbacks. Yeah, I like watching the Razorbacks. Well, sometimes I like watching the Razorbacks, but really, I know some of the basketball players' names, but the baseball players, if I hear their name, it's like, oh yeah, I kind of recognize that, but I don't know every stat. I don't know everything about them. But some people, they love the Razorbacks so much, they know all about all the details and everything else, because they love it that much. And we say we love God, but we don't know Him. We don't study His Word, and we don't seek Him out. We say we love God more than the Razorbacks, but we can tell you the team stats and how many three-pointers they hit or how many home runs they hit or how many tackles that guy made and where his draft status is. But, oh, I love God more than I love the Razorbacks. But, well, what's your favorite Bible verse? We were playing this game. We played it a couple nights this week, this music game that Hayden put up, and it was like it'd play a clip of music and you'd hear like 5 seconds of the music and you had to name it, but you had to name the song and the band. And it's so funny because Crystal knew almost all the songs, but she didn't know anybody who sang it because she didn't research it. She didn't seek it out. Now her sister Brandy could probably tell you who sang it, what year it was released, what album it was on, and everything else, because she loved music so much. Can our hearts get back to where they need to be, seeking the Lord? That's the message today. It's up to us. I got work to do for Pete. I do. But how we could change this community if we did it. Bring your Easter candy next week. Sign up if you're going to be able to be here for that weekend before Mother's Day. The sign up sheet's in the back. Moms, you don't have to cook for that, so don't be afraid. The kids and the dads and everybody else is what we did last year. They all cooked and brought it together. And so if you can be here, please sign up the Sunday before Mother's Day. Next Sunday, bring your Easter candy. Next Sunday night, we're going to be stuffing eggs and probably doing some more. But anybody that can help stuff eggs, I hate stuffing eggs. So I want as many volunteers as possible. And so we'll be doing that next Sunday night. Y'all have a blessed day.